Morning. Good prayer by Al. Donnie, thank you for the reading of the scriptures. And we're so glad that we can be here today upon the first day of the week to sing praises to our God and to worship the Lord, spirit and in truth. We're glad that you're here today. For everybody that's here, we have a number of people that are visiting. My family, many of them are here today. Most of them are, really. And others who are visiting, glad to see some who have not been able to come, who are back with us. And we're grateful for that. We're thankful for Tommy and for Jeff, the good work they're doing in the kingdom of God. And for Mike Richardson, his good family, who's working with us. And I know you'll miss hearing him today. Look forward to hearing him tonight. Continue to pray for the work here and let us do all that we can in the kingdom of our God. I'm here this morning to tell you something great, to tell you something that's wonderful. Our Christ, our Lord, He lives. He's not dead now, and He is alive. Thanks for reading the scriptures, Donnie. Look at the last part here, where the Bible says that the angel announced how that Christ is risen. He's risen from the dead. And they're told to go and to tell the disciples. And when they went with fear and joy. What a joyful thing it is to know that Jesus indeed came forth from the grave. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You know, the Bible tells us there were witnesses to His resurrection. Let me just mention a few of those. First of all, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Son of God. While the Bible tells us where they came and Jesus was transfigured, there was something that the God of heaven said about Jesus. You know what it was? Listen to it. The Bible tells us, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." God was pleased with Jesus. He was God's Son and is God's Son. Not only is that true, this man has a name that is above every name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then notice it in Philippians 2 and verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name." What else do we know about him? We know that he is indeed is the Messiah that was promised to come. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, it was prophesied. In Matthew 1 and verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. This Jesus that we're talking about today, he is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. Not only is that true, but the Bible says He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist beheld Him. We find in John 1 verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold," look at it, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And yes, indeed, He is the only Savior of this world. In Acts 13, verse 23, "Of this man see David, hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. His name is Jesus." Ah, my friends, my brothers and sisters, my family members, all of you today, the Lord Jesus Christ indeed is alive. He is and died. Well, when we look at the proclamation in the Bible, we ask those who actually saw Him. Look for Mary Magdalene. What the Bible tells us in John 20, verses 11 through 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Jesus rose up from the grave. He's not dead. Jesus is alive. He's alive today. Yes, and not only that, you can ask Simon, Peter, and John when they ran to the sepulcher. And the Bible tells us that John outran Peter. They peeped into the sepulcher. But when Peter came, he went in. And guess what they can tell you? Just like the Bible says that John believed, they can tell you that he was not in the tomb. He had risen from the grave. In 24 and verse 34, the Bible says the Lord is risen indeed. And when Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, that he had seen Cephas and that then those that were 12 had seen the Lord. Jesus indeed is the Lord. You can ask the disciples that were walking, the two, on the road to Emmaus. And there we find in Luke 24, verses 13 through 35, well, they come back and they tell the disciples, we saw him. He's alive. Ah, but you could also ask the other Mary, Salome, Joanna, and at least one other woman. Matthew 28:1, Mark 16:1, and Luke 24, verse 10. All of the scriptures that tell us these people were witnesses to the fact that Jesus is alive. Ask the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias in John 21, verses 1 through 3. They could tell you that Jesus indeed is alive. Ask the 11 disciples, minus Thomas, in Luke 24, 36 through 43, and John 20, verses 19 through 25. Ask them. They'll all tell you. And the very fact when Thomas was included with them in John 20, verses 26 through 29, and now then Thomas said, Lord, you are God. He had seen the risen Savior. Ask the disciples at the large gathering. Do you know Paul, when he was writing in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8, the Bible tells us that Paul tells us that Jesus was seen of Cephas, and then over 500 people at one time. Can there be any question in the minds of anyone that Jesus did not rise and was not raised from the grave? When Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians 15, I want to read verses 1 through 9 with you. Look at it carefully. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died. Yes, he did. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried. Yes, he was buried. And the Bible says that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain at the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then all the apostles, and now the climax of it all, summation by Paul. Look what Paul says. And he says after that, he was seen of me. I saw him. Yes, my friend, as one born out of a due season, Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. The humility of this great man, whom God called, who knew would do something that God wanted him to do, and to show the world, tell the world, Jesus Christ is risen. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, friends and neighbors here today, Jesus Christ is indeed alive. And because he lives, three or four points in the lesson is yours. Because we know he lives, we've asked witness after witness. And now because Jesus lives, you and I can live as he lives within us. Isn't it a wonderful thing to wake up like on the first day of the week today and to remember that our Lord did not stay in that grave, but he came forth out of that grave and he was alive and he's alive today. And I want to tell you something. You and I have him in our hearts. When the Bible tells us in Galatians verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Is he alive? He sure is. Where is he? He's in us. And the Bible tells us, yet Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. What did Jesus do for you and for me. He gave. What did he give? He gave his life. He was buried. And he didn't stay in the grave. He came forth out of that grave. He is alive. In Galatians 6 and verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What are we saying? Because He lives. Because He lives today, April the 4th, 2021, we can live. He lives in us. We show others Him because He lives. Secondly, and you know what? I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what it may bring. But we worry sometimes. And we ought to forget about that worrying. You know why? Because Jesus lives. And we can live and have hope of tomorrow. Do you have hope? I hope you do. Are you walking in Jesus? I hope you are. I hope you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, ready now for His return. Yes, we can have that hope. There is one hope. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, in verses 4 through 6, there is, yes, one body and one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling. Hope is what? I desire to obtain heaven, don't you? And expect to go there, don't you? If you are in Jesus Christ. Romans 8 verse 24, we're saved by that hope. And because He lives, all of us who are living in Him and He in us, we have that hope. Thirdly, because He lives, we can be happy, filled with joy. When we got up this morning, Ann and I were able to look at each other. Thank God that He's still giving us another day to be together, looking forward to be with families, family in the physical sense and also family in the spiritual sense. And you know what? I want to tell everybody, don't you? I want to tell everybody about the Jesus who lives, who can give everyone, if He make Him His Lord, show the world how much He lives through you. In Philippians 4, verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things. Paul, how can you do all things? I can do all things through Christ, which liveth in me. That's the answer. Yes, this is the day which the Lord hath made. And guess what? He sure has made a good one for us. So grateful we ought to be for every blessing that we have. Because you see, Christ lives and we can be happy and filled with joy. And you know what, friends? Not only is that true, but we can obey God. Oh, we make our mistakes, we sin. When we do, what do? We try to clear it up. Oh, we've had so many wonderful lessons by Mike Richardson. Wonderful preacher. Lessons that help us to realize what God has done for us and where we can find the forgiveness and then obey Him. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things that He suffered in being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that do what? That obey Him. Paul said, indeed, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Who did He come to save? Sinners. Who are we? Sinners. What do we need? We need a Savior. Abraham obeyed God. In Genesis 11, the Bible said, God told Abraham to go into a land that He would show him. Guess what Abraham did? He arose and went. God told Abraham to take that son that he loved so much, Isaac, offer him as a sacrifice unto him. What did Abraham do? He arose, took his son, prepared to offer him in a sacrifice. And then when he took the knife to slay his son because God had told him to do so, he heard a voice from the heavens above, and that voice said, "Abraham, Abraham, lay not thy hand on the child." And God said, listen to it, God said, "Now I know that thou fearest me above everything." Can a man do that? There was one that did, Abraham. Yes, we can obey God. Yes, my friends, just like Paul did, just like Abraham, because Jesus Christ is alive, because Jesus lives, surely we can obey Him. Fourthly, or fifthly, because He lives, we want others to live with Him. I want everybody in this group today, and those that are listening to us, we have folks called and told me today, or yesterday rather, that they're going to be listening today, all from Ohio, different places. I want everybody to understand, yes, He lives, and we want everybody to be walking in Jesus and obeying the Lord. Listen to this beautiful invitation. You won't ever have one that is any greater. In Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Ah, isn't it wonderful to tell people, Christ wants you. We want you. We want to do everything we can to you for you to live in Jesus. In Acts 22:16, you remember how the Bible says that Saul was told, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." In Acts 9:18, he immediately arose and he was baptized. Who needs to be baptized here today? Have you never obeyed the gospel? Oh, you can do that today. Here is water. What does hinder you to be baptized? And then we can ask God to forgive us when we make our mistakes. In 1 John 2:1-2, "My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins." But He didn't stop there. "But for the sins of the whole world, Christ Jesus wants you to be walking with Him. He wants you to know He's alive, and as you are, let Him be alive in you." God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, guess what? I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He holds, I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He brings. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face on certain days because He lives. And then one day, some of you are going through pain every day. You're now suffering in the body. You ever get to the point where you're looking forward to the day you'll be in a body that never, ever has to suffer? Then one day, I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. And I know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Can you? Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because He lives. There's a poem that we've read so many times that depicts to us the beauty of Jesus Christ our Lord, one solitary life. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in an obscure village. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant teacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never traveled except in his infancy, more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accomplishes greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through a mockery of a trial. He was nailed up on a cross between two thieves. His executors gambled for the only piece of property that he had on earth, his seamless robe. When he was dead, he was taken down from the cross and laid in a borrowed grave through the courtesy of a friend. 19 wide centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of all human progress. I am well within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put them all together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerful as he has this one solitary personality. Jesus is alive. Where will you spend eternity? Where will I? It's entirely up to you. If I know my heart, I truly want to live with God forevermore in heaven. Don't you? Now, if you choose not to be there, that will be your decision. I can't make it for you. I can't make it for anyone. The only one is you. When we all get to heaven, we sing, but we won't all get to heaven unless we live in this life for Jesus Christ our Lord. Won't you come to Him today? Obey Him now, because I'm here to tell you He's alive. And don't ever forget what the Bible says. In Matthew 18 and verse 20, do you know what the Bible says? Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there will I be in the midst of them. Guess what? Doesn't that say He's here? Right here? Isn't that wonderful? To know in a few moments we'll remember His death as He has taught us. And to know in a little while we hope we'll be able to leave this building, enjoy fellowship with our family and friends, but to go forth from this building alive. Alive and having Jesus living with us. If you're not a Christian, here's water. What didn't hinder you to be baptized? If you're a Christian that is not faithful to the Lord, won't you ask God to forgive you? He will. And get on your path. Work hard and serve Him. Because we conclude by saying, as many did before, He is alive. He is alive. Christ Jesus, our Lord. Won't you make Him yours? If we can help you in any way, won't you come all together and we stand.